All right, welcome back to the Garage Hockey Podcast. I'm Felix Sicard, joined as always by Nick and Joe Berger. Guys, it's good to be back. I was gone over the weekend down to Southern California. Had a great time, but I missed you guys. It's good to be back.
We missed you. We missed the studio. I kind of didn't know what life was without this.
So. Outside of the studio?
Yeah, so it's good to be back.
Yeah. Joe, did you miss me? I probably should have asked that. But yeah, it's
good. Wait, you were gone?
That's what I expected. But yeah, it's great to be back. And most importantly, it's great to be back with our audience, our ever-growing audience. People are writing reviews about us, glowing reviews. It's been great. Just a solid experience so far with this pod. But before we pat ourselves on the shoulder too many times, let's get right into it. So World Cup is coming up next week, I believe. September 8th is the first, pre-tournament game.
Canada, U.S., right?
So yeah, so yeah. What we're going to do the next couple of pods is just sort of break down each team, their chances, the sort of rosters that we expect from them, and just go from there. So, guys, today we got Team Europe and Team North America, the non-country teams.
Yes.
Yeah. So, thoughts on Team Europe?
We were looking at their defense, and I don't know. Well, first of all, I should say that not a lot of people have been giving Team Europe very much love, which I kind of understand. But you look at their defense, and we kind of had trouble piecing it together in a way that we felt like really comfortable with.
Yeah, their defense is going to be a problem, and probably their undoing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, like, you know, Frederik Andersen should get the starting job. They should be okay at goalie, if not...
Yeah, you like, know, they'll be fine in net.
Yeah, yeah. So, but you know, keeping the pucks away from him
is going to be an issue.
Yeah, getting out of their zone.
Yeah, obviously, we really like Roman Josi.
Mm-hmm.
He's, I think, easily their best defenseman. They've got Zdeno Chara, just to lay it out for everyone: Chara, Erhoff, Josi, Dennis Seidenberg, Andre Sekera, or Sekera.
Yeah,
Is there a consensus?
I think the consensus is Sekera, but I kind of like saying Sekera.
I do too.
But when he first heard his name, it was always Sekera, and then recently it just changed to Sekera. So yeah. That usually means that he corrected someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll go with Sekera because I get the feeling that those are his wishes.
Yeah.
And then Lucas Pisa and Mark Streit. So
yeah, it's not looking too good.
Yeah, like that. A lot of those names, like Erhoff and Chara, look a lot better if it was like 5 years ago.
Roman Josi is definitely the diamond in the rough of that group.
Well, Roman Josi might even be like one of the three best players.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to do a lot for them. But yeah, it's tough to feel super optimistic about Team Europe with that blue line. Sekera is a good... I mean, the way I have it mapped out right now for my pairings, Sekera, Josi, Chara with Erhoff, and then Seidenberg with Streit. So that third pairing is really going to sting when they're out there.
Yeah.
It's the ice is probably going to be tilted against Europe.
Yeah.
Which is going to be a problem. Up front, I really like them, though. I think they grade out pretty nicely up front. The way I have it mapped out right now on my super sweet, super advanced Excel sheet, Matt Zuccarello with Kopitar and Thomas Tatar. And then Bodker with Nielsen and Hossa, Gabrick with Drysdale and Niederreiter, and then Vanek with Reeder and Hansen. So, pretty balanced lines. There's a lot of skill to go around, some speed.
Mm.
But they're definitely going to have to help out in the defensive zone.
Not a whole lot of, like, just scoring punch.
Yeah.
It's going to be, a scoring by committee type deal.
Yeah, that's the thing. With that lineup, it's hard to imagine that they're going to have one... it's hard to imagine that they're going to have someone that you can really count on as, like, the go-to force outside of Andrei Kopitar.
They're going to have to play a very efficient game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be a good, like, two-way team effort.
Their margin for error is pretty low.
Yeah.
But there is, like, they do have upside.
They do.
I think we would be sort of foolish to discount them from the get, because I think, sure, like, you know... Definitely on the lower end in terms of perhaps like skill, athleticism,
yeah,
youth, that's for sure. But they have a lot of experience. Guys like Gaborik, Hossa, Chara, guys who have played in big games. Mm. Like, I think that matters, and especially playing on a team like Team Europe, where maybe they have a bit of a chip on their shoulder in that their countries didn't get a team. Like, I don't know. Like, I could see that team becoming, you know, greater than the sum of its pieces.
Yeah. It is an underdog team.
Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. But I like, if that ends up being the first line, like the way you drew it out, I like that line a lot.
Yeah. I mean, Kopitar has to be the first line center.
Oh, yeah, that's...
He's their best forward.
Yeah, you can chisel that into stone right now.
I think best forward is between him or Thomas Tatar.
Yeah.
At least right now.
Hey.
But yeah. And then in net, Frederik Andersen looks... I mean, he's going to have to do a lot for them.
Yeah. That's his job to lose, by the way. Because it's...
Well, it is... I mean, is anyone else even remotely close to winning that from him?
No.
I mean, we've seen flashes of brilliance from both Grice and Halak.
Yeah.
A little more Halak, but that was Halak, a number of years ago.
Yeah, it was 6 years ago. Closer to seven.
I mean, yeah. If Andersen doesn't win the job, you know, maybe not in, you know, a brilliant fashion, but, you know, just, you know, solidly... It hurts their chances a lot.
Yeah. So, like, where do we see them sort of finishing? Are they... What's the best case scenario for Team Europe? A third place finish?
No,
I think best case is, you know, probably fourth, but I'm thinking they might finish more like sixth or seventh.
They're just going to have to overperform like crazy.
Yeah.
As much as I like their experience, you know, they have some youth, you know, like Tatar is still on the younger side. Dreisaitl, maybe he takes a step forward in this tournament. Tobias Reeder is, you know, a little bit underrated out in Phoenix. Arizona. Arizona Desert Knights, Red Hawks, Coyotes.
Take a drink every time we say Phoenix instead of Arizona. Yeah.
And, like, Marin Hossa is still really good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, at the very least, they'll be fun to watch.
Yeah.
And potentially might scare a few teams, but it's just like they're the glorified Team Switzerland of this Olympics, yeah. So to speak.
Yeah. I like their forwards. It's just, like Joe said, it's going to have to be by committee.
Yeah.
They don't have, like, overwhelming talent. They have talent. It's just
And their coaching staff, they have...
Ralph Kruger.
Who wasn't, you know, terrible... out in Edmonton his first go around. That team was just so bad.
I didn't realize he was an assistant coach for Canada when they won gold in Sochi.
Yeah, and he's pretty respected in like the international community. He's had some success overseas in Europe. And then they have Paul Maurice as an assistant who's like been a pretty proven NHL coach his entire career.
I'm reading an article on him right now, and
Kruger?
The same article that says, you know, he, you know, won gold as, or, you know, he's part of the coaching staff of 2014. It also says that he was the chairman of the Southampton SC soccer club in the Barclays Premier League.
Okay. So a bit of a typo there. But yeah.
It sounds like he's multi-talented.
Yeah. They have at least an interesting coaching staff. Guys who have, I mean, I don't know. I have more faith in their coaching staff maybe than Team USA's.
Yeah. We all know how we feel about John Tortorella.
Not very bullish on John Tortorella.
Yeah. Don't feel good.
So my best case for them is Andersen plays lights out. They just kind of find some magic up front and their blue line holds up. Like, who knows? I think that I could see them maybe finishing third. That's if, like, really everything breaks their way. And a lot of that has to do with Andersen. And, I mean, we've seen this in other tournaments. You know, like, the World Juniors, for example, a couple years ago, Peter Mrazek just plays out of his mind. And, I mean, that can win you a few games, and all of a sudden you're in the medal round or whatever.
Right.
Right?
It's feasible, but I really don't see it as more than, like, a 25% chance.
I mean, I think they're better than Team USA.
I think it's close.
It's close, but, I mean, that's the thing. Though, like, the games where they will play each other, that's a toss-up, right?
Yeah.
So for them, they look at their schedule and think, that's a game we can win.
Mm.
And they're probably coming into it way more hungry.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the fact that, like, we're sort of the rejects a little bit. And here we are. I mean, like, I don't know. I just love the mentality this team could potentially have.
Yeah.
Just the underdogs. And, I mean, pretty damn talented for an underdog team.
Yeah. You could talk about Team USA, though, wanting redemption after how poorly they played in that bronze medal game.
But, you know, you also need talent to go along with the hunger.
Do they want redemption? They didn't really seem to care about that bronze medal game at all.
Yeah.
Like, not even a little bit.
And I don't even really trust John Tortorella to, like, motivate them to want that. Like, I don't think he's a good motivator. If he's such a good motivator, why do his teams kind of suck recently?
Yeah, why didn't Ryan Johansson do good things?
Oh, because he called them out of shape, like, the first day he got there. That's probably why.
Yeah.
Torts.
Yeah, I feel like you have to earn a player's respect before you call them out.
The fact that that guy even has a job in the NHL speaks so much to the way NHL coaching hires work. Like, teams, and that's why it was so surprising that the Avalanche, I mean, that's why I was so surprised that the Avalanche hired Jared Bender, who's had success in the AHL, but, like, I don't know. I just totally thought they were going to get, like, Bob Hartley and just another retread. Because that's the way it works in the NHL. They're so risk-averse.
They recycle coaches because they know what to expect from them.
And there's really no reason to.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to lose if you get a guy who has way more upside? Like, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, that's, you know, props to Joe Sakic on that one. Because he knew that there were coaches with NHL experience available, including, you know, someone he knows.
He had the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, but he went out on a limb. And,
yeah.
You know, he seems to like him a lot, and he thinks that he's going to get the best out of the Avalanche. And, you know, pretty much it's just, you know, we'll see now.
Yeah. Well, just like Sakic, might like Bender a lot. I actually like Team Europe a lot. Do I like them enough to really knock on Canada's door? Probably not.
No.
But I do think they will surprise us for a few games and at least give us something to be entertained by on, like, a Tuesday night.
Honestly, what I'm expecting to see from them, you know, I'm not expecting them to, you know, be walked all over, but, you know,
they won't be.
I'm expecting, you know, relatively close games. When they're playing really well, I still think those are only going to be, like, they'll be, like, up by one in the third period.
Yeah,
but I still don't see them really finishing higher than five.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got them I've got them fourth at the best. At the very, like, if things go really well, I've got them fourth.
It's not so much about them, it's more about who they're up against.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, if we're looking at the short tournament format, they've got some speed on the wings. Zuccarello, Bodker, Tatar.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kopitar isn't really, like, a speedster. But he can find guys. He's a really good passer.
Yeah.
So.
And he's Jonathan Toews.
And, I mean, Gabrick. Oh. He's better than Jonathan Toews. But anyway. Yeah, I said that.
You did.
Hate on it.
You did. Tweet him.
At me.
Yeah, tweet him, Chicago fans. @Felix_Sicard. That's @Felix_Sicard.
I'm ready for the hate.
His address is. Oh, no. That might be going too far.
We're not. Okay. But yeah, so hey, some speed on the wings, a good goalie. Like, in a short tournament, sometimes that can be good enough. The problem is when you're playing Canada, Sweden, Russia, Finland. Not to spoil how these things are going to end up, but
it's just going to be so hard. It's going to be so hard to generate anything against teams like Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking back at the Olympics,
unless you target Shea Weber and Jay Bomeister, then you might have a chance. Actually, you absolutely have a chance.
Yeah, man, Jay Bomeister's on that team.
Oh man, that was so weird.
That's a joke.
It is.
Yeah, like
he's not good
because
he's old and bad.
The thing about Canada's selection of Jay Bomeister, obviously. It'd be great to have Subban or Letang on that team, but they're both right-handed shots, and they needed to fill in a left-handed shot. But Mark Giordano is out there, and I would much rather have Mark Giordano over Jay Bomeister.
Dude, it's like, it shouldn't even be a debate.
When it happened, the only way it could have been fire to me is if they picked Adam Larson. Is he even Canadian?
No.
He's Swedish.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, anyway.
So that would have been really funny then.
I think we've covered Team Europe. We wish them the best. They have the blessings of the Garage Hockey Podcast, which honestly is worth a hell of a lot more than whatever they're going to get from their home countries. Whatever.
Man.
Okay, moving on.
All respect to Slovenia, but we're so much more important.
We are, you know, America. America.
But yeah, I like the team. And they have some players that, you know, we've kind of grown up watching, like Hossa, Gabrick,
but, I mean,
Thomas Vanek.
Yeah, the team.
Zdeno Chara. I mean, even Yaroslav Halak.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be, you know, we're going to see how good they are against, you know, the heavy hitters like Canada.
Yeah.
And, you know, Russia and Sweden. But, yeah. You know, I think the game that is really going to draw the most attention with them is, you know, sort of their counterpart in North America.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about Team North America, because they're sort of everyone's, I don't want to say sleeper pick, because they're not really a sleeper pick since they're so full of talent. But they are sort of the popular pick to unseat one of the, you know, more well-established teams like Sweden, Russia, Canada. And I think they're capable.
That's a really fun roster that they have.
Yeah, so I've...
And that's why this team exists.
I've put myself in the shoes of Todd McClellan, who will be the head coach for the under-23 team North America. And this is the roster that I've devised, you know, to at least give myself and everyone here an idea of, like, what this team could look like. So on the first line, Dylan Larkin, Connor McDavid, Jonathan Drouin. Like,
that's good times.
That is a lot of talent. That is a lot of speed and skating and just, man.
Creativity.
I'd rather have that line instead of, like, Europe's top three lines.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I'd rather have McDavid than Europe's top three lines. Yeah. But anyway. Second line, Johnny Gaudreau. I might start calling him John Gaudreau.
I
might just do that.
He's still baby-faced enough.
Yeah.
Like, he's at least got 5 or 6 more years of Johnny in him.
Yeah. Yeah, so Gaudreau, Eichel. I think Eichel's a worthy second-line center. Really good. And he's got a year or 2 years. Yeah. What? 1 year? Yeah.
Got one year.
Sorry. No disrespect to Jack Eichel. He's got 1 year of NHL experience under his belt. And on the right side on that line, I have McKinnon, although before the show we were talking, why not Austin Matthews there? I do like the USA connection angle between Eichel and Matthews. So that's a bit interchangeable, but imagine Gaudreau, Eichel, and then McKinnon/Matthews.
Yeah.
Again, that's just like a whole lot of talent.
Yeah. Mm.
Gaudreau is... You know, Gaudreau's almost kind of underrated, I feel.
I mean...
For how good he actually is.
For how good he is, yeah. I think...
He scored, what, 30 goals last year?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Last year was when he sort of started to emerge out of that underratedness a little bit, because
yeah.
Now he's sort of being called young Patrick Kane.
He was also on the All-Star team last year.
Yeah.
I've been impressed with him and, by extension, Monahan, when they played the Anaheim Ducks
yeah.
2 playoffs ago.
Yeah.
And I think the way... North America is going to perform is going to be surprising in a very similar sense to the way Calgary performed against Anaheim.
Yeah.
In that series was, you know, they should be beaten by, you know, better teams, but they're not going to go away quietly.
I mean,
if they're being beaten at all.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. Like, we'll get to this later, but they're very good. Then on the third line, Brandon Saad, Mark Scheifele, who I like a lot. And then, again, either McKinnon or Matthews. Mark Scheifele is really good.
He's really good.
He's also kind of underrated.
Yeah.
He's just signed a pretty big extension with Winnipeg. Brandon Saad, everyone knows him from his Chicago days, is still a really productive forward. He's only like 24, 25.
Yeah.
So, or no, he can't be. Oh, shoot, that must mean he's really young then.
Yeah, he might not even be that old.
Yeah.
But
well, because, I mean, he's definitely less than 23 if he's on the team.
Accurate. He quietly had another really good year with Columbus.
And then on my fourth line, it's just so weird to call this a fourth line, Nugent Hopkins with Sean Couturier and Sean Monahan. So the two Seans and then the Nuge. I mean, Couturier, what I like about him is he's responsible defensively, which is going to bode well for like more of a defensive role in the fourth line. And then Sean Monahan's capable of scoring. I don't like him as much defensively. So I think on the fourth line, you can kind of shelter him with Couturier there.
Yeah, because we were talking about his shot suppression numbers.
They're not good.
Yeah, 1 or 2 shows ago, and like you said, they left a lot to be desired.
They're not good, and I don't trust them getting better like on his own. So if I put him with Couturier, Nugent Hopkins, who Nugent Hopkins has already quietly had like what, 3-4 years of an NHL experience under his belt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though he's only under 23.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then sitting out probably the entire tournament unless someone gets hurt, JT Miller. I got love for JT Miller. I think he's a talented forward, but I just couldn't talk myself into putting him above any of these guys.
Yeah, with Miller, it's not you, it's me situation. Like, there's just not enough room on that loaded roster.
I could see McClellan inserting him into the lineup.
Maybe.
After a couple games.
Just to check him out, see what's going on.
If, someone's underperforming and he wants to, it's like, hey, you better get your butt moving or,
But who steps out for JT Miller, like, hypothetically? Like, even if they're underperforming. See, like, one guy, my two picks would be Couturier or Monahan. Even though, and look, Flyers fans might be mad at me for saying that, because Couturier is really good. I think he's also really underrated. But I don't know. I can't talk myself into taking anyone else out.
No, it's
like maybe if Matthew seems a little rattled by the bigger spotlight, which I can't really see happening.
I don't think he's going to be. He seems pretty mature in that regard.
He was the first overall pick, so it'd be hard to see that happening. So guys, does Team North America have like what, the second, third best forward group in this tournament?
They could. I think they probably have the second best.
Second best over Russia?
I mean, man, oh man.
Featuring the likes of...
Oh, I forgot about Russia.
KHL bound. Well, actually, now playing in the KHL. Pavel Datsyuk.
I'll go third best behind Canada and Russia.
Kovalchuk, Ovechkin. I don't know, man. I think... I mean, Russia's so much fun to watch. They're very big on offense, let's just say.
Yeah.
But, If we're looking four lines deep, I might like North America a little bit better.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, McDavid, Larkin, Drouin, like, all the love and respect to first ballot Hall of Famer Alex Ovechkin, but I don't know. Like, McDavid is just as good right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I can see them finishing in second place, though.
Like in goals scored. Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, just, I mean, maybe.
Yeah. Well, before we get into where they're going to finish, let's look at the rest of this roster because that also matters quite a bit.
Yeah.
And this is where you start seeing a bit of a slide only because their forward group is so talented and just so deep. On their blue line, this is the way I've drawn it up. You have Shane Gostisbehere with Aaron Ekblad, the first pairing, which is like really good.
Yeah.
Second pairing, Morgan Rielly with Colton Parayko. More of an under-the-radar pairing, but quietly also two very effective blue liners. Parayko is more of that two-way guy, can chip in offensively very well.
Yeah, you'll see him on the power play.
Yeah, and then Morgan Rielly is just a smooth skating, puck-moving defenseman. And then we move on to the third pairing with Seth Jones and Jacob Trouba. That's going to be an interesting one because I think Seth Jones is obviously really good. He's a right-handed defenseman, so they probably want him on that right side. I just like Trouba's puck-moving ability a little bit more than Ryan Murray, who I would have sitting out as a seventh defenseman. So I would move Jones over to the left to sort of shore up Trouba, who's also a right-handed shot, to sort of, like, I guess shelter a little bit of Trouba's defensive deficiencies. Just because in a short tournament, I'd rather have a guy like Trouba who can get me just a bit more offense, you know? As much as Murray seems to be reliable two-way, I like Trouba just a little bit better in this setting.
Yeah, if someone were to come out, it would be Trouba.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much the left shot on the left side, right shot on the right side means to Team USA. We know it means a lot to Team Canada and their brass.
Yeah.
So I guess it just depends on how much stock Team USA puts in that.
USA or North America?
North America. North America.
Your mind is elsewhere. It's okay. It's because we just discussed in the previous pod, which you should listen to, by the way. Episode 7 up on iTunes.
Stitcher. iTunes and Stitcher.
But yeah, so the blue line definitely isn't the best in this tournament. But again, like, they're in that knocking distance from between 1 and 4. Like, I think you can put them in there. Because Russia's blue line is... I don't want to spoil too much for, like, coming previews, but let's just say Russia's blue line isn't... I mean, not even maybe one of the three best in this tournament.
It leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah. Sweden's is elite.
Yes.
USA has some good players in their blue line. It's just they don't have enough.
Yeah. And they didn't even pick the best ones available.
But, man, I mean, you could definitely make a case that North America's blue line is in the three best in this tournament. Yeah. But, again, a lot of it's... I don't know if this... Like, I don't know how much this angle matters since this is sort of a new tournament, even though I know it happened once in, like, 2004.
Was it that recent? Wow.
Yeah. But these guys are a bit younger, and on the blue line, maybe in a tournament where they're going to have to defend the world's best up front, that might be a bit of a challenge for them. Like, I could see that maybe being a factor. Like, Jones and Trouba might get torched by, like, a Crosby line or an Ovechkin line. Like, I don't think they'd get embarrassed, but it would be a pretty big task for them.
Yeah.
Even for Gossesbear and Ekblad, like, that is... That's not something they've had to face.
You got a lot of young guys going against a lot of very skilled, very veteran guys.
The entire world is going to have trouble with those players.
Yeah, like, and that's the thing, and that's why... If that's the criticism you can make of them, then maybe, like, you're doing all right.
Yeah.
And the thing you have to keep in mind is I trust them to be so efficient with the way they're going to move the puck out of their zone that they might not have to defend a ton.
Right.
I could see this team finishing somewhere between maybe allowing 25 to 28 shots a game at the most.
Mm.
I don't think they're going to be allowing a lot of shots just because they're not going to be in their zone a ton.
Yeah, they're going to have the puck a lot.
And, I mean, if you talk shots for, they might be getting like 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sort of what I'm going to be very interested in, at least early on, for Team North America is the goalie race. You know, because it should be Gibson's job. But you have, you know, young, talented guys with Hellebuck and Matt Murray behind them. And we're going to see how good Matt Murray actually is. Because, you know, in a tournament like this, facing, you know, elite teams, you know, he's going to face nothing but...
Talking about Matt Murray?
Yeah, yeah.
Just so everyone knows, let's clear the air. Sitting across from me, two of the biggest Matt Murray doubters.
No, I'm not. No, I'm a supporter.
No respect for Matt Murray.
No.
I love pinning this.
I know you do. You like stirring the pot. He just didn't... There's, you know, the question mark in Pittsburgh right now. Is, you know,
the goaltender? Oh man, what a new and, thing for
you
them.
Know, the question is valid.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think that it's as controversial as it is because I don't think Matt Murray is quite as spectacular as he looked early on in the playoffs.
No, I think
or as at the end of the season.
No, actually I agree with you on Matt Murray. I think the skepticism is valid. He was really spectacular, like you said in the beginning. But he never really got terrible. He just sort of came back to earth.
Yeah.
So if he can give the Pittsburgh Penguins a season of that, they'll be fine. That's all they really need, considering the rest of that team. But in this tournament, I don't know. I'd go with a guy like Gibson or Hellebuck, who I think are just more talented.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
I'm just saying,
yeah.
We're going to see how good he actually is because
if he plays.
Yeah, if he plays. But I think, you know, in the preseason, he'll get at least one
game.
Dude,
he might play. Like,
because he's got the ring.
Because, like, all... I need to stop saying all love and respect, but all love and respect to Todd McClellan, who I think is a good coach. His assistants are, well, DeBoer backed out, but, well, Jay Woodcroft, and then there's another one who's pretty well established, but they have a nice coaching staff.
It wasn't Tippett, was it?
No. Oh, it is Tippett. Yeah, it is okay. Dave. So Dave Tippett, who's also one of the best coaches in the league. I just could see them getting swayed by this whole, oh, Matt Murray just won the Stanley Cup. I could see that maybe for like the first two games. Yeah. But that might be enough to maybe like neutralize their chances.
Yeah. How many exhibition games does each team play?
Like three at the most. It's not that many.
So I mean, they'll probably, you know,
give each guy one game.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Or just, you know, nominate a starter at the very beginning and just, I don't know, go to bat with him.
Yeah.
But I think this is John Gibson's job to lose. And I think he, like, you know, for anyone who's followed anything I've said about John Gibson over the course of this podcast or in my writing about the Ducks, I'm not as high on him as maybe I should be, but I think out of these three guys, he's the best right now.
I think
and he has the most experience.
Most experience. I think he's definitely the most skilled of the three.
At age 23, he's played in some big games, game sevens. He's played in the World Juniors, played in the World Championships. So this is a guy I would definitely trust to not be rattled on this stage against this competition. Like, if there's one thing I can say about John Gibson is he is extremely calm in his net. just at least if you look at his demeanor. Sometimes his play gets a little bit scrambly, but in general, he's very well composed. And I think when, you know, it's going to be a lot of pressure, even though I don't think anyone's really expecting that much out of this team. I don't think anyone's really thinking right now, even though they like them, that they're going to finish ahead of like Sweden, Canada, Russia. Right. But I still think there's some pressure, right? Because for these young guys, they have a lot to gain from performing well in this tournament.
Yeah.
So there might be a lot of, like, I guess, self-imposed pressure. And I think out of those three guys, without knowing too much about the other two, I think he's the best suited for handling that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he looks like he was made at a goaltending factory. Just, like, very, very good technique, athletic.
Oh, yeah. And just so everyone knows, I guess why I think he's really calm demeanor. So back when I was in college, I lived out in Newport Beach, California, Orange County, which is about 30 minutes from Anaheim. And a lot of the Ducks players live out there. And I would always see Gibson at the, like, supermarket.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that guy, I actually saw him once at the Chipotle. It was him and Devontae Smith-Pelly. And that guy just looks so laid back. Like, he just looks like he was born to live by the beach.
Yeah.
And then go and play hockey like three times a week and get paid millions of dollars for it.
Soaking up the SoCal vibes.
Yeah. Like, that guy just looks... He's chilling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of his. I think I probably like him a little better than you do.
Yeah.
And then
I might just be a little salty that they got rid of Anderson, but
maybe
that's different. Yeah.
Yeah. But then with just to put a bow on Matt Murray real fast, he didn't
put all the bows.
He did not have to be good against San Jose.
That's fair. He had to be good enough.
He did.
Yeah.
I think he's probably going to be second on the depth chart for goaltending for Team North America.
Yeah, because Hellebuck doesn't quite have, I guess, the resume yet.
Yeah.
Even though there's evidence to suggest that he is at least in the conversation with Gibson.
Right.
I just think as a head coach, if you're sort of mapping this out, it'd be really tough to sell to anyone, yeah, let's go with Hellebuck over Gibson. Like,
right.
I don't think that's a play anyone's making.
Yeah.
As they shouldn't, probably. But if Gibson does go down, I think they're in good shape with Hellebuck.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're in good shape with all three.
I don't know.
I'm not saying they're going to win a medal with Matt Murray.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, they're fine, but, man, I'm a little worried about him against, like, you know, these teams.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Only because that blue line, as good as I think they'll be moving the puck, they're going to have some issues protecting the front of their net, just sort of limiting scoring chances.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Just, I don't have a ton of faith in Matt Murray. I'm still waiting to see another year of him.
Yeah.
No, it's the Scott Darling effect.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Yeah. I think he's a solid goaltender.
Yeah, he should be. Yeah. But,
he's, you know, he had respect coming up out of the minor leagues. Played well in the playoffs overall, but there were some times when he just did not look good in the playoffs, especially against San Jose.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, it's always, you always have to be careful when you judge any player's performance in the playoffs. Look no further than Fernando Pisani in 2006.
I don't want to talk about that year.
Oh, that's right. Painful year for the Sharks.
That was a
pain. Well, that's every year until like last year.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to be a little careful when you're rating a guy in the playoffs because you don't want to have that be your sole gauge for how good he is. But at the same time, it does give you a sense of, well, how is he going to be when teams know, when they're scouting him every single game?
Yeah. Not every goalie that emerges in the playoffs is going to be Ken Dryden.
Exactly. So we'll see with him. Maybe it's a good thing that he didn't dominate all the way through, a la Cam Ward 2006. I know I'm on a 2006 kick right now.
Yeah.
But
well,
I'm partying like it's 2006.
You're thinking about 2006. I'm thinking about America. So.
Oh, man.
We're getting back into mid-season form here.
2006. Good year.
Where do we see, like, best possible scenario? Where do we see North America finishing?
You're forcing us to make a prediction.
Of course I am.
I don't like it. man, this is tough. This is, like, actually probably the toughest prediction to make for me. Because this is so, you know, because as hockey fans, as guys who have followed this sport for a long time, we're so used to, like, when we're discussing international tournaments, like, okay, well, it's going to be some order of Canada, Sweden, Finland, Russia, when USA decides to show up. But now there's this like, what do we do with this team?
I think we're all on the same page here.
Like, we think they're really good.
I think if we see any team not in that grouping to win the gold medal, it could be this team.
Yeah.
Like, I think we all see the potential in that.
So is it a gold medal or is it a cup?
It's first place.
Okay. I just like, because we've been saying gold medal a lot, and I mean, it's the World Cup. I mean, there might be medals involved.
It's just that with international which international tournament doesn't have a second and third place?
Well, this isn't it's an NHL tournament. So
yeah,
they could do something weird and lame, which seems to be pretty not out of the question for them. Is Gary Bettman going to present the trophy?
Oh, no.
Oh, but then he'd get booed.
Yeah.
Which, that could be a nice little wrinkle. man. Okay, well, I don't want to keep running away from this prediction. I'm going to say they're going to finish third.
I think that's fair.
I don't see them being good enough to hang with. It's so, okay, I don't want to say good enough. I think they're a little bit thrown together as a team, and I think Sweden is just much more complete. I think Sweden and Canada are going to be right there at the end.
Especially now that Sweden has Raquel and Lindholm.
Yes.
I think they're going to finish fourth.
Fourth?
Yeah.
Behind?
Russia.
Oh, so they would lose to Russia in that...
In the bronze medal game. Or, third place game, whatever.
Yeah, okay.
Is it working like that? Is it...
Well, that's probably something we should, know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we take a second and look that up?
Well, I know that there's that last... There's not actually a gold medal game.
It's a three-game
series. It's a best of three, which I think is awesome, actually.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So, is it somewhat like a point standings that determines the order?
I think there has to be a third place game.
I would too, but if they're doing a series at the end, they might give it to the team that finished third in the rankings.
Oh, so I think it's not. There is no gold or there is no
bronze medal game.
No, it's just group play, semifinals, and then the final series.
So
whoa!
So the top two teams make the final series.
Okay, well then, so let's calibrate our predictions. So I'm going to say they make a semifinal.
Okay.
I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, I do too.
And I think, oh, well, this is easy. So they're not in Canada's group. So I think they can come out of their group to the semifinal.
Who's the toughest person in that group?
For them?
Yeah.
It's Russia.
Okay.
So they're going to be playing Russia in that final, in that semifinal. And then Canada's probably going to be playing. Oh, we'll see. Oh, no.
What?
So in Group B, which is North America's group, it's Finland, North America, Russia, and Sweden.
Sweden.
Oh. But dude, could Sweden not make the semifinal? Okay. I think Russia doesn't make the semifinal.
So you think that Russia's going to lose out to North America and Sweden?
Yeah, I can see that.
I have zero faith in their blue line. Even if they have great forwards.
Yeah,
I don't like their blue line. And even in net, it's kind of...
And North America has the punch to outscore them.
They have all the punches.
Yeah. So for Russia in net, it's who? Varlamov,
Bobrovsky, and Vasilevsky.
Yeah. They better not be starting Varlamov.
Yeah.
He's gonna pull his groin. Watch.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And let's look at... And if you look at the schedule... So, Sweden-Russia, right? Sweden wins that game, probably.
Yeah.
North America-Finland. North America wins that game. Then Russia-North America. That's kind of a do or die for both of those teams.
It is, yeah.
Because... And Sweden plays Finland, and those games are always kind of interesting because of the rivalry.
Yeah.
But Finland, again, not to spoil our future predictions, but I think Sweden is probably going to beat them.
That game for Finland, I think we sort of feel Finland is the weakest in that group.
Yeah.
And, Finland, that's the last game Finland plays?
No, and then they play Russia.
Oh, okay. But, Finland could very well be out of it. Yeah. And, they're going to want to beat Sweden because they're the rival. But also, if they can play spoiler to Sweden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then North America plays Sweden in their last group game.
Man. And by that time, if what Finland does, transpires, then Sweden will have to beat North America.
Yeah. Man. You know, I'm just going to say this. I think North America makes the semifinal.
Right? Yeah.
And that is saying something because they're going to have to beat out some I mean, there's no bad team in that division.
And the semifinal is just one game, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, in their the division, their group, Finland, Russia, and Sweden, like, there's no easy games. Like, Canada, it's kind of interesting that Canada got, like, the easiest group. As if, like, just maybe someone in charge really wants to see Canada in the...
Yeah, how are we going to sell this tournament? Canada has to be in the gold medal game.
But I think it might be reseeded, though. Because they have Canada and USA in the same group.
But for the semifinal?
Yeah.
So
because they have to want a Canada USA final.
Yeah, that yeah.
Like that is the best case scenario for their ratings. So again, not totally sure how this works, but I would say that either way, the group games that Canada is going to have to play are going to put them in a much higher position. Like, come on. I mean, USA, Europe and Czech Republic, Canada's going to eat those teams
That's
up.
That's easy.
And that might be Canada's undoing, is they're not going to have to play anyone tough until the the final.
Yeah.
Granted, like, not totally sure how the semifinal works, but, like, Canada's the favorite, but their road is going to be a lot easier to the championship.
Right. Without a doubt.
That's interesting. That's an interesting wrinkle I wasn't aware of.
Yeah. So I think they would be in the championship no matter what.
Yeah.
But you're right. That's substantially easier than the other group.
Oh, yeah. They're going to have to, like, Group E, it's going to be a war zone.
Yeah.
Man, this is going to be so much fun.
Yeah, I can't wait. Please.
Okay, here's one thing.
Let it start now.
My least favorite thing about the World Cup of Hockey? The commercials.
The ones that have been happening
on the terrible ones?
The guy with the mustache.
I hope you're better at sound bites than you are at hockey. Or whatever.
What's his name? Reginald or Reg?
I don't care.
It's like don't do those commercials. They're bad.
Yeah. They haven't been good.
Don't tweet.
There was one, it might have been with Jamie Benn. That's the thing.
They're just so corny.
They are, and that's kind of the
hockey's bad at marketing.
They did do one funny one with Patrice Bergeron.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was the one good one.
That one was, does he like punch the guy or something?
No. Patrice Bergeron, they go down all like Patrice Bergeron's winning pedigree, how he's won gold at like every level, and he like takes off his jersey and he's like all these medals. He's like put on these sunglasses and just sort of walks away.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. The Patrick Kane one was just so bad, and I've seen it so many times that I don't know. I'm a little turned off by it.
Kane just walked through it like, no, yeah, no. Are we done? I can leave? Okay, bye.
But that was kind of the point.
That's kind of how he is in every interview.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting tournament. I'm glad that we've gotten this preview series underway. Today's August. Well, we're recording on August 30th. Probably going to be up either on the 31st or the 1st. And then that's going to take us right into the exhibition games, and then we're going to be underway, and hockey is going to be played.
Finally.
We've made it. It's been a long summer, a lot of bad trades, a lot of horrible trades.
A lot of head scratchers out there.
A lot of dumb stuff has happened.
Bad signings.
Yeah.
Still people who haven't signed that should
Chris
be signed.
Russell, the hashtag Russell Watch is still on.
Oh, man.
The Russell Watch is like...
I mean, we finally made it through VC Watch.
Well, watch Anaheim let go of Lindholm and sign Russell.
Like, that is still... It still needs to be resolved.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we made it through this kind of weird, insane summer of hockey news. One of the more insane ones, I think, in a little while. Just because of the big names. Subban, Hall.
Yeah, you know. Weber.
Shea Weber just has to be mentioned on every podcast.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about it.
Well, our apologies to Shea Weber. We ran out of time.
You know what? This might be a record for us going 53 minutes without saying Shea Weber's name.
I think so. I actually mentioned him a little bit earlier.
Yeah, but we didn't didn't dig in on him.
Yeah. But yeah, we made it through the summer, and now we're heading full steam into the season. I'm really excited to... just watch some freaking hockey again. I'm not tired of talking about the same stuff, but it's going to be good to have new material, actually having something to watch. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
And having something develop, like, in real time.
Mm. Yeah. No, seriously. Yeah, that's going to be awesome. It's good. It's going to be good to have that aspect of hockey Twitter back, like in-game hockey Twitter.
Yeah.
I miss that.
When hockey Twitter becomes Bob McKenzie tweeting out his alcoholic beverage of choice.
Oh, man. Shout out to Drunk Bob.
We love Bob.
His lyrics.
We love Bob. We love drinks. But we're ready for hockey.
Yeah, seriously. I guess one final note. The Avalanche hired a new coach.
Yes.
Jared Bednar, who led the Cleveland Monsters.
Lake Erie.
Lake Erie, right?
Lake Erie. Well, they play in Cleveland, whatever.
But, yeah, they're Lake Erie.
They play in the same arena as the Cleveland Cavaliers.
The 49ers play in Santa Clara.
This is true. But, yeah, Avalanche hired a new coach, Jared Bednar, who seems to be pretty promising. Led that team to a championship. I like the hire.
Yeah.
I think I said earlier, but shout out to Joe Sakic for, you know, going out on a limb and, you know, having the strength of his conviction to, you know, make a team better instead of just, you know, hiring a name.
Oh, yeah. Because Hartley would have been terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we were talking before the recording about how teams tend to go with people they know, i.e. Bob Hartley,
because they
don't want to take a risk or whatever. There's a comfort zone with the guys that they know already. But, I mean, success at the AHL level.
Let's see it.
Yeah, good pedigree. So, good pick.
The article I read when Bednar got hired from Scott Burnside on ESPN was, I can't remember who it was, but it wasn't a direct quote from Tortorella. It was someone that Tortorella told this to. It might have been Columbus's GM. I can't remember. But, you know, Tortorella said he doesn't know Bednar personally. It sounds like he, you know, hasn't even talked to him. But every time he got a player from him, he was NHL ready.
Yeah. That's high praise.
Yeah.
And speaking of high praise, thank you to everyone who's been submitting listener questions with their last-minute prompting on Twitter. It's been super appreciated. It's gotten us through these tough dog days of summer. And I don't know, guys. Good pod. I think we've covered a lot of stuff. I think the listeners are going to like this one.
Hopefully. So with that being said, thank you all for listening to another episode of the Garage Hockey Podcast. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. If you're not an Apple person, you can listen to us on Stitcher. Download that app. You'll find us there. We are also on Twitter at Garage Hockey Pod. We are on Snapchat at Garage Hockey Pod. We'll be doing some fun behind-the-scenes stuff with that. And then for those of you that watched the Facebook Live video, thank you very much. We are on Facebook, as you now know. And with that being said, we'll talk to you later.